It's been a while since we've gotten together to discuss the world and our role in it. We have started back at school in person, in masks, living in a state of exhaustion. Some think that this is the worst year of teaching yet. We're all feeling the need and being told to go back to normal, but is old normal where we really want to be? The nation and the world are still fighting COVID, some better than others. School board meetings have become riots against fake critical race theory issues, the teaching of anti-racist history, and mask mandates. There are a lot of nutballs out there, too. Did you see all the craziness waiting in Dallas for the return of JFK Jr.? Spoiler alert, he didn't show up. Tom, if I've told you once, I've told you a million times, do not talk shit about teachers. We will throw hands. We're going to have to meet you after class. Well, welcome, everyone, to our podcast. It's been a minute since we've been gone. This is Meet Me After Class, a podcast about education, pop culture, and whatever else we want to talk about. And I'd like to introduce those that are with me, my teammates. We have Mr. Sean.
Why, hello. I would like to point out, too, that Lori just coughed in the middle of a pandemic still as the podcast. Like,
well, you know.
I ate my Skittle wrong, guys.
Somebody help her.
And Lori, hi.
Hey, hello, hi there.
Oh God, dear Lord. I forgot about that. Oh son my of God, a I thought we were loving done God. With that. Son of a biscuit, God.
Welcome back, guys. We're back.
If we will remember, this podcast started a while ago with just Sean and I, and then we'd have guest hosts that would come in, and then Lori came, and she never left.
They liked me so much, I stuck around.
No, she just wouldn't leave. Yeah. So
much like our friendship, she kind of just latched on. It's been along for the ride the whole time. Why? There's more Snickers. Oh, what is your problem?
Lori's holding up a Snickers wrapper. She's so sad.
She also held up a Snickers to the diabetic and looked sad about it.
It was a wrapper. I thought it was full.
There's a full one.
There's a bunch of full ones right there. So how have you guys been since the last time we met together, which was, dear Lord, when was that?
Before, end of the school year.
End of the school year. Yeah, April, May, somewhere around there.
June.
June. Stephanie, the school year ends in June.
Listen, smartasses. I've had it up to here with you. So, how you been? How's your summer? How's it going?
Dude, how long has it been since May? No, things have been good. My summer went fantastic. I honestly didn't really do anything, but tried my best to recharge my batteries. And, you know, I was like, yeah, we're going to be going back in person. Fall's going to be great. Man, I was stupid. Man, boy, was I dumb. But how am I doing right now? I mean, I got coffee and candy near me, so, you know,
what
solid.
More do you need in life, really?
Yeah, I'm good.
What more?
Insulin.
Well, insulin.
I don't have that near me. I'll have to go get that. Yes.
You will need that. How about you, Miss Lori?
Summer was decent. Spent time in the woods.
Just randomly?
I'm bad at this.
She likes to pretend she's Sasquatch and just proceeds to walk around.
Just scaring people.
Scaring camp children. Oh my God.
I'm Sasquatch.
Can we make...
Hey, hello, hi there.
Can we make a horror movie where like it's like a total like kids camp thing and instead of like being a Bigfoot or something scary, it's like a sorority looking girl?
Who comes and goes, oh, hello, hi there.
Hello, hi there.
I spent time with my family outdoors in nature. It was great. Taught a puppy to swim. Came back to school, visited my boyfriend in Austin, and now we're here.
You say everything as if like you know that we're gonna disapprove of what you're saying. Stephanie, how are you since the end of the school year, May?
Well, shut up. It's been okay. My brother finally got to come and visit.
Yeah, we all worked out together.
Yes, we worked out together.
Got those gains.
Cool.
All aboard the game.
Because he needed to get vaccinated and he couldn't get a vaccination where he lives. So he flew here and spent 3 weeks here getting his vaccine and hanging out with us. And then I came back to school and I was expecting something. Just pull it. Pulling it slower is just going to make it more crinkly.
It's like the kids with the Velcro like binder.
Open
thing,
your butterscotch super fast. No, and then school, I'm exhausted and tired and scatterbrained and all sorts of things, trying to remember how to teach again. and trying not to be angry all the time, you know, but just doing it, whatever you can do.
Yeah, the school year has been been something. That's for darn sure.
It has been something.
I would like to use plenty of words to describe it, but I don't know what age range we're going for with this podcast.
We don't want to get demonetized.
Fuck. Oh, wait. I thought you said we wanted to be demonetized.
So that brings us to talking about school. Since we are teachers, that's kind of our focus, is talking about education and schools. And one thing that I've noticed, not just with us here, but teachers in general, we're all tired and we're all anxious and we're all just sad about what is happening in our school district right now, our school systems right now. I don't know about anybody else out there or at this table, but I am March tired of education and of teaching. And not that the students are being horrible. We actually have a pretty good group of kids and most of them want to work. And so it's just, I don't know. I don't know what it is. What do you guys think it is? Why is this year feel like the hardest year of teaching?
I think that, wow. I think for me, I felt so comfortable in all of my procedures and my routines and my planning, and I knew how to do things. And so, yes, I'm March tired, but I also kind of, like, for me, I've reframed that into, like, I'm first-year teacher tired. Yeah. Because I think, really, we're all first-year teachers again. Like, we are out of practice of the things that we have done in our classrooms, and I think that we are now having to refigure out how to do all those things and realizing that some of those things needed to change and trying to figure out new ways to do them. And so, yes, I'm tired, but I'm first-year teacher tired. More so than March tired.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
Yeah, it's crazy because, like, as teachers, we're so used to things changing because you'll have a plan and then half your students don't show up or something random. And so, you know, we're always willing to adapt and we're really good at that. But it always happens like we had a structure, we had a plan, we had consistency. And then when, you know, little moments like that, it's like, I can deal. This year has been nothing but like just randomness, things we weren't expecting, unforeseen changes. My job has probably changed, I don't know, 4 times since summer. One minute I was supposed to do this. And, you know, for those who listen to past episodes, I was displaced. So I didn't know what I was going to do until literally the day before school started. And that's kind of changed a few times now. So for me, yeah, it is exhausting because, you know, right when I start to feel like I'm getting a good flow going, because I think a lot of teachers will say, you know, when you get that good workflow going, it's like, you know, you're chugging along. But yeah, it's like, that's why everybody's exhausted, is because right when we feel like things are going well, or I'm starting to get a routine, you know, bam, this kid has to go quarantine. Mm-hmm. Or there's testing, or yeah, because that's a whole thing as well. Because it's like, yeah, we're used to certain things happening in certain times in the school year, and they're having to happen earlier because we're making up for the remote times or the hybrid times.
And I am feeling, because I'm an okay teacher. I'm a pretty good teacher. And I feel like I'm pretty good at thinking on my feet. And I can't do that now. I have lost that ability somehow. So, like, I can usually go in without a lesson plan, just kind of a basic idea, and just wing it. And it's a great lesson, right? Now, if I don't have something in front of me, I'm just like, let's do a makeup work day. You know, I just have lost, I don't know if it's the creativity or the push or the desire or the knowledge of how to do it, because I haven't had to for so long. And I think that's the area that I really struggle in, because I'm now going to have a student teacher in my room and having to, you know, model how to be a good teacher and just winging it every second of the day. I'm really going to have to change that.
And you can add to the added challenge as well of like remote learning, as much as we talked about, you know, the bad things about it, why we didn't get to see certain students, you know, we saw Zoom screens all the time and different things like that. There were some goods and some good things that we learned. I learned a lot about my teaching. And so while we're also trying to reacclimate ourselves to in-person education, we're also trying to take some of those things, like, okay, what can I take from that time and incorporate it still? And am I taking too much? Am I not taking enough? Am I reverting back to old, you know, version of me? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, we're really trying to navigate. Now, you had said, like, you know, how good of a teacher you are and those things that you're like, wait a second, I know how to do this. See, for me, I suck as a teacher. Like, I am awful. So it's been great seeing all of you guys stoop down to my level and just be terrible. This has been wonderful. This is great.
Shut up.
Like, I don't even know how I'm still working. This,
I know plenty of worse teachers than you.
that's the silver lining. Like, not, oh, Sean, you're good. It's not. It's like, Sean.
No, but you're
not the worst.
You're not the worst.
Sean, you don't listen if I say you're good, but you listen if I say you're not the worst. See, I've learned.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. What? I only caught half of that sentence. What?
Yeah, it's really interesting when we think about. I mean, everybody was pushing during remote that we got to go back, we got to get back to normal, and we got to do all these sorts of things, and then we realized the normal sucked before COVID. I mean, all the standardized testing and all these different things that all these hoops these students had to jump through and teachers have to jump through, and now we're like, why are we doing all this? What is the purpose? And I think we can kind of see that the world doesn't need some of these things that we had before.
I think also we have to acknowledge, as educators and administrators need to acknowledge this, and just generally we need to acknowledge that everybody has been through a really traumatic event.
Yeah.
Like, we went through a global pandemic and are still in one. And, like, being able to put mental health and our social and emotional well-being at the forefront. Because, yes, we can talk about, like, academic losses of students.
Oh, I hate that term.
Yeah. We can talk about that every which way. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we also have to look at the loss of time that students had at critically developmental ages to interact and learn how to interact with one another.
Yeah.
And on our end too, thinking about the fact that, like, we didn't get to interact with people. And so there's a loss for us there too. And I think there's some grieving and some work that needs to happen and some acknowledgement that needs to happen by educators, by administrators, by the general public. And to be able to make space for that is challenging.
Yeah, especially because we're being pressed because of all the academic loss that we need to push and all this, you know, meet these. We're not pushed so much like that here where we teach, but I know there's schools like that, especially AP classes and those kind of things. I mean, let's just get back to normal. Let's just do this. Let's do all this curriculum in a short amount of time. And when you're dealing with trauma, you have to acknowledge it and you have to say, hey, we've all been through this. Let's talk about it a little bit. And just to process that. I mean, that's what they say to do for almost any trauma, is mm-hmm. to process it. And I don't think we've, because, well, looking at us as teachers, haven't we been kind of thrown to the fire? You know, at first we're all heroes and you guys are saving us and blah, blah, blah. And then now you look at school board meetings and let's fry them. I mean, they just, teachers are not looked at as that anymore. And like, why can't you just, you know, work your extra hours and do these things? So my child, blah, blah, blah.
And not even talking just even from a selfish standpoint of like, yeah, teachers are struggling, like whether we're showing it or not, like everybody is. And when we were shut down, everybody was talking about how, like, you know, the importance of mental health and how when we do go back, we're going to need to still give resources to kids, adults, everybody going back because, yeah, it, you know, the shutdown portion of this pandemic lasted a very long time. And then as soon as the shutdown stopped, it was like, all right, plug right back in.
Yeah.
And at least, you know, on some level, a lot of people stopped talking about the mental health stuff again because, oh, everything reopened. Yep. Go right back to it. And it's like, wait, where was all that talk like a half a year ago?
Right. Well, we don't have to deal with it now because we're not in that place anymore. And it's like, no, you still have to deal with it.
and we talk about the collective trauma of just going through this global pandemic, but that is not even touching on the fact that, like, many of us and our coworkers and our students have all experienced loss because of this.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's grieving and there's trauma there too, more specifically. So both in the general sense and in the really, like,
specific sense,
acute sense too.
Yeah.
And it's still not done. Like, the fact that our and many other districts have a COVID dashboard to show it, the cases and where they're going and stuff. And it's like, it just feels so kind of hypocritical and fake kind of thing.
Yeah.
For all those non-teachers, here's an anecdote for you. I remind students more now to keep their mask on their face than I do asking them to put their cell phones away.
I have had more arguments, like day one, like literally the first day of school. I remember I had a student who immediately started saying that COVID's not real and just started spouting all this BS. And I was like, it's like, look, in my career, I've tried my best to remain neutral about many things to have these conversations. Yeah, that went out the window with that one. I was like, oh, sorry, child. You're going to find out right now that I am of a different mentality.
Also, science can't be.
Yeah.
Also, educated. Educated.
Yeah. That is so true. And I think we're even more running up against that uneducated side of, on top of dealing with trauma, on top of dealing with grief, on top of dealing with mental health of ourselves and our students, we're also getting from the other side of, and not so much here, but I think the teaching profession in general of, you got to teach this, you got to do this. I know within social studies, the whole critical race theory and all the anti-racism education and, you know, burning of books and, you know, not allowing certain books in classrooms. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And I see that as part of the whole, though, because it's creating a really unlivable career for people. People, they're leaving. We already had a teacher shortage, and now we're going to have even more.
Mm-hmm.
And we've lost, and this, our state lost some teachers because they refused to get vaccinated because we have a vaccine mandate. Which that was not difficult for any of us sitting in this room right now to be able to do. You have to get vaccinated to work. Done.
Done.
Good. Set. No, like I was chuckling because like you mentioned the stuff of like the school board meetings and critical race theory and burning books and, you know, hoping that JFK zombie is going to come back and run. And I sit there and it's like, that sounds like an episode of like The Simpsons or something where totally. It's like something like a treehouse of horror. Like you're like, ah, that is such a ridiculous thing. Like that, this cartoon's going to have it. And I'm like, oh, that's real life.
It will be a Simpsons episode.
I mean, yeah, well, Simpsons called everything.
So it's very much like the that TV or TV show, that movie Idiocracy that came out a long time ago. I mean, yeah, I know you haven't seen it. But I mean, it basically is the idea that we all passed away and then this new, oh, it's just hilarious.
There needs to be an Idiocracy 2, so then Lori will see her. Remember, she's specifically
sequels. I'm only allowed to watch sequels.
Yeah, Mamma Mia 2. It's going to happen.
You're right. I forgot. Yeah. But I mean, yeah.
Well, the critical race theory one especially gets me because I saw something, maybe it was on Reddit or something pretty recently where, you know, somebody's talking with a guy and he's like, yeah, we need to, you know, and he's so against critical race theory. And the guy goes, all right, well, what things are you against of critical race theory? And the person's like, well, to be honest, I don't really understand it too much. And he goes, but I'm against it. I'm against specific parts of it. And then he was like, oh, okay. Like what part specifically? I mean, I don't know them, but I'm against it.
I saw a funny tweet that was something to the effect of people who are against critical race theory are the same people who are throwing rocks at Ruby Bridges. And the only reason they don't want it is because they don't want their grandchildren to know that they were the ones throwing rocks at Ruby Bridges.
It's very true. I mean, it's not, and critical race theory is not something we teach in K-12. It's just not something we teach. It's something that some of us are aware of, but it is taught in law school and it's taught in graduate school. What they're concerned about is them pointing out racist ideas, and that's what they're afraid of.
The indoctrination of children.
Yeah. Let's just acknowledge, you know, maybe there was some racism in our country. I mean...
What?
I know.
How dare you spout facts?
You know, slavery and...
Well, I mean...
The genocide of the native peoples, you know...
It is on a much smaller scale, but just swinging it to my subject area of health and PE and stuff, it's the same thing when they were talking about teaching sex ed to every single grade. Yeah. And all the parents were like, what, you're going to teach kindergartners how to have sex? And it was like, okay, we don't teach anyone how to have sex, first of all. But it was like, no, we're going to teach kindergartners about like bad touch and how to like report stuff. And then I remember I told one of my friends who has kids around that age, cause he was all hot and bothered about it. And then I explained, no, that's what they're going to teach. And he goes, oh wait, that's what they're going to teach. And he goes, why didn't they say that? kind of thing.
And it's because the people who are against it are going to spout what they think it's about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's just, it's ridiculous when you start thinking about, like, I watch these people. There's these guys on TikTok that reenact people speaking at school board meetings about masks. And just, I mean, when they reenact them, they do it big and just really overreact to it. But these people who are just like, why are you, I want you to see my child smile. And I'm like, I don't want to die of COVID, so we're going to put a mask on your child. And it's just like, and it's not the kids. The kids are sitting there usually next to the mom as she's speaking, going, oh God, please make her stop. I'll wear a mask. Just leave me alone.
Kid's like, I actually don't mind.
It's okay. I got it.
Be quiet, Johnny.
You don't know what you're talking
Mom's
about.
Mom's talking and right now.
I know I said that we have to remind kids to wear a mask, but generally there's not a huge fight.
No.
The overwhelming majority of our kids, there's not a huge fight. And what we are reminding them is like, hey, you're dick nosing. Pull it up. Though not in those words to students.
I mean, yeah, not in those. But yeah,
we don't say those things.
It's the same thing as any job. You know, you remember the kind of the bad stressful moments or the stressful people mm-hmm. more than the other ones. Like for every kid that I've had to remind to pull up his mask, there's a kid whose mask broke accidentally in, you know, as we're exercising, and it's hilarious because they'll cover their face as we're like, oh, I'm sorry, do you have a mask? And it's like, oh, sweet child, oh yes, you're wonderful. Here, I've got so many masks for days.
You do? I don't have any.
You don't have any? Oh, I got boxes.
I got tons.
Yeah.
I'll get some from you.
Okay.
Yeah, I can make it rain with masks.
So can I, because I got my fancy Korean masks.
Was that an attempt at a segue?
I really wanted to.
It was a really bad segue.
I really, really wanted
to. Are we going to Korea?
Shout out to Fancy Korean Mask. This podcast is low-key sponsored by Fancy Korean Mask. Get you one.
No, I did want to move on because I wanted to talk about, we've touched on mask mandates and vaccine mandates, and I wanted to really talk about that because I think it's something that's going to come to a head now here because now I know our state has authorized, well, the federal government, and I'm sure our state in the next couple of days of ages 5 to 12 can get the vaccine now. And so,
yeah, they're rolling them out already.
Yeah. Wow.
Why are you
wow.
laughing at students or young children getting vaccinated?
No, I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing at being mocked by my friends here.
They don't know that.
But now they do.
This audio only podcast.
Shh, they can't see us.
All right, crazy lady.
We're invisible.
But what have you guys seen about mandates and mask mandates and vaccine mandates and how are people reacting to them?
Oh, I saw this video this morning as I was not on my way to work because I was stalling and drinking my morning coffee about the New York Fire Department. Mm-hmm. And it was this montage of people who were anti-mask and anti-mandate
mm-hmm.
Who were back when all of the big Black Lives Matter protests were happening,
mm-hmm.
Were saying things like, just comply. The right thing to do is to comply. Stop resisting, comply. Mm-hmm. And then it was overlaid with all of the images of the protesting New York Fire Department and police officers opposing the mandate.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a really, really interesting comparison that was drawn between the two.
Yeah, I've heard that a couple times because that is what is told all the time. We lost, 120-something state patrolmen who refused to get the vaccine, and I don't know how many Seattle police officers were left because of that. But
yeah, I know the number was, it definitely went a little bit lower than what it was. Like at first it was like 350. And then out of that, it was like, they're within like the company, so to speak, but it's not actual uniformed officers.
Yeah.
So that number was a lot lower than the first reports had come out, but there were still a lot. So
our Seattle police officers made it onto the John Oliver show where he talked about vaccine mandates and a police officer gave his, this is my last call from my shop. Because, you know, the fucker Jay Inslee is making us get vaccinated. And then he did a walkie drop and then John Oliver mocked him. Because it's just like, Why is this so hard? I'm not understanding what the problem is. We've had to get vaccines all of our life.
I mean, you don't understand. This one's not tested. We might turn into zombies in a couple years.
Dude, cool. You guys take so much drugs. It's not even funny. I mean,
I don't do drugs.
You don't understand. I want to know what I'm putting in my body as I grab a vape pen.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's not drugs. I'm talking like
drugs?
Energy drinks. Drugs.
Drugs.
But like energy drinks and caffeine and cigarettes and all these different things. You know, my favorite is the people sitting there smoking and say, I won't get the vaccine. And it's like, okay.
You say that.
Crazy lady.
Can we sponsor a vaccine by Monster or something? Maybe somebody would take it.
Well, funny part I saw. So when I drive home, I drive by Boeing. And last week I drove on Friday. I guess there's this protest against mandates. There's like, I want to say 22, 23 people. They had signs like freedom of choice and fuck Biden and all these different things. And I'm just like, okay. I drove by this past Friday. Three people. Just three people. And I'm like, so either the rest of them decided to get vaccinated or they got fired. I don't know what it was, but it was, I was going to yell at them, but I'm like, oh, they just look sad.
Maybe.
Just more than anything, I think the most annoying thing is that science that we have always regarded as fact is somehow now becoming politicized.
Yeah.
Like that's, I think,
still.
The most.
Still.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, that's the most annoying thing about this, I think, is that, like, something that is so based in evidence and science and like, we regard our scientists as brilliant minds, right? And then now all of a sudden a Facebook article tells you more than a scientist can.
It's true.
It's just the fact that science has become so polarizing
mm-hmm.
and politicized, I think, is absolutely ridiculous.
Well, I think that was happening before. I mean, intelligence was polarized and politicized. I mean, if you were smart, you know, you were considered kind of, you know, hoity-toity and you don't understand the common folk. And it's like, common folk are not these dummies. Common folks are people who are educated. And we, for years and years, politics has been dumbing itself down to go to these common folk. And we're seeing what happened with that because now the Republican Party is a shit show. I mean, nobody knows what's happening there. I don't even think the Republicans know what's happening there. And it's just, they're going to, I mean, it's going to have to crash or they're just going to embrace Trumpism and start a new country or something. I don't know.
I mean, that one governor won.
What one governor won?
Virginia.
Oh, yeah. The Republican governor. That's usually, the pollsters were saying that usually after the election of a Democratic president, they usually elect a Republican governor in Virginia. Because they always have their election the year after a presidential election.
Got it.
And they were talking about how that that specific race kind of gives the framework for, honestly, both parties as, like, the Democratic Party can look at, like, hey, like, y'all need to do a little bit better, like canceling student loans.
Yeah, what happened to that, man?
Please, please, please.
Listen, I don't think Biden listens to our podcast yet.
Yet. But he'll get there.
You can tweet it out himself.
Once he finds out that we're sponsored by Fancy Korean Mass, then he's definitely going to. Yeah, I mean, the mandates, I like them. I mean, personally, you know, I'm not into men, but mandates are cool. I mean, go for it. But, you know, do your thing, people.
Well, it took me a second, but you broke Stephanie.
I broke it.
Let's go. Yeah, I mean, like... I have no problem with the ones that are in place. Like, I went to a Seahawk game. There's a mask mandate. Or you had to show that you're vaccinated. I thought the implementation of that was just a colossal shit show. Like, you had to show a photo of your vaccine card, which I did in the, you know, however old, I want to say teenager, but I'm probably just old. It was probably like a 26-year-old or something. He looked at my phone and was like, you're good. And I'm like... okay, like, and then as soon as he walked in, it was like just all of a sudden, whoa, everybody took their mask off and was walking around, and it was like, oh man, this is slightly uncomfortable kind of thing. But vaccines and stuff, I'm really interested with our state, the fact that California made it so students have to get vaccinated. I really, really, really hope that I have certain individuals in my class, if there was like breaking news that Washington State's going to do that, because I want to see some reactions from some people.
I don't think there's a doubt that it is going to happen.
Well, oh, and it's not an if, but when.
A lot of it's by school district. So like one of the large local school districts is their school board is meeting tonight and voting on a student mandate. But that's
But I feel like our state is going to do that also. Because, yeah. I mean, we already have vaccine mandates to attend school. Your MMR, your polio, your tuberculosis, all of these different shots you need in order to go into school, you need to have them. So they're just going to throw the COVID in there.
Now, they did, like the California one, it is so far away that those students have to get it done as well.
Next year.
So
July, I think, of next year.
Yeah, which I was like... Is it because of access to the vaccines? Like, they actually need to get that many
for those? It could be.
Because, I mean, our state is rolling these out for the 5 to 11-year-olds.
Because they made the mandate before they even had a vaccine for the younger ones. And so they were just anticipating, we didn't know when it's coming out. You know, we just got to give them the time to do it.
Gotcha.
Because even though that they have one now, it's going to take a while for it to get out. Basically, it's just a smaller dose than what they've had before. But it's also a little different because it's not as... you don't have to keep it as cold. So storage is not as huge an issue as it was with Pfizer and Moderna. So
also, totally side-related PSA kind of thing. All three of us are boosted. Like, we got the boosters and stuff. And anybody...
Boosted.
Yeah, we're boosted. Boost Mobile.
Boosted.
I'm just throwing out company names, hoping that one will sponsor. Yeah, all of us are got the booster. And for anybody who's not at that level or not at that stage yet, who's going to get it, totally didn't get those second dose side effects. Like, all of us were like ready to just, you know, be in bed kind of thing. Because that second one definitely was a doozy. But I just had some arm pain. I don't know about you guys.
And I think mine was more because I had my flu shot the same time I got my booster. And I think mine was a reaction to the flu shot more than it was the COVID.
My my only symptom that cropped up with my booster, which I got hit hard by symptoms after my second shot. I was down for the count. And the symptom that showed up after my booster that hadn't showed up previously was swollen lymph nodes.
Lymph nodes
that like made it hard to move my arm, but that went down in like a day or two, and it was more annoying than it was painful.
Well, yeah. For me, I had no problem with the lymph nodes because, unlike noodle arms over here, I have mass. So
you don't have armpit muscles,
says you. Sounds like somebody who doesn't have them over there.
He cracks walnuts in there.
They're called lats, bro. Do you even lat?
No, like by your. You don't have boobs.
I mean, not with that attitude, I don't. Probably the only real side effect is after I took, after I got the booster, I just felt way more handsome.
I felt like a badass bitch. Your calves exploded?
No, they don't. No, why would you even say that? It's okay.
Into something larger?
Is that how stuff gets larger? They explode into another one? Like, so if I describe that to my students, be like, oh, we're going to lift weights so your muscles explode into bigger muscles?
Yeah.
We get contacted by like HR or something.
I am also not, I have no more fucks to give about people who are anti-vax and anti-max. I just really, I don't have the time.
Oh, also disclaimer, we're not doctors and we make no guarantees about your symptoms of your side effects.
I'm not a doctor,
but I play I've been to one. But yeah, I mean, all these people are like, oh, this is so sad. I'm losing my job. I'm like, well, take this fucking vaccine then. I mean, I don't know why this is so hard.
If you don't get the vaccine, you're going to lose your job. Oh, well, I'm not going to take it. Lose his job. Surprise Pikachu face.
I mean, that is it. I mean, it's all these religious exemptions that I heard the religious exemption was that supposedly the vaccine uses stem cells, embryonic stem cells in its development. It doesn't. But also a nurse pointed out to me that there's a smattering of tons of other drugs that we all use that also use that same technology. And so if you use any of those, we're talking like aspirin and Zoloft and things that a lot of people use. So if you use those drugs, but you can't get the vaccine because of the stem cells.
That don't exist.
You're a liar. You're a liar. And I don't have time for you. I just don't have time for you.
Yeah.
All right.
Mic drop.
So next up on our lovely podcast, we are starting something new.
Did you call it a podcast?
I did. It's a podcast.
Cheer.
Go. Vaccinated.
We're going to do something new called our rant wheel. I stole it from another podcast I listened to. Thank you, John Lovett. We'll be back with that right after a word from our lovely sponsor.
Hi, future Stephanie.
Editing the shit out of this. Brr, 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 brr.
You go, girl.
Do your thing.
Welcome back, guys. Here we are with our new part of our new and improved podcast called Our Rant Wheel. So before, listen, I will edit so you're not in this.
I'd like to picture that when she says that, somebody's listening and she's like, all right, listen. And they're just like, I am. Okay.
We got together beforehand and we picked a bunch of categories and we made a wheel. And so we're just going to spin the wheel and then some of us are going to go on a rant about that topic. We have a lot of different topics to look at. We have Facebook is evil.
Meta.
Meta is evil. Anti-vaxxers. Squid Game. Derrick Henry's injury. Best cheese ever. Positive outlook of Ted Lasso. Mental health and sports. Thanksgiving. And video games are for nerds. So we're going to give the wheel a spin. And we're going to start with our first topic here is...
Well, that just sounds scary.
Oh, but wait.
What the heck
I'm cracking my bag.
All right. Thanksgiving.
Yes!
Thanksgiving.
Stuffing sucks.
Okay, this is going to get heated. It just is, because... food is something I am very passionate about. So,
I mean, me as well. And my lack of being able to eat some of it.
You just don't like stuffing because it's all carbs and you can't have it.
No, that has nothing to do with it. I didn't like stuffing even in the before time.
I will listen to you. Why do you have a hatred of stuffing?
Okay, so first of all, this has nothing to do with my diabetes and my lack of being able to eat stuff. This stemmed from even before that. Thanksgiving food, everybody's super passionate about it. They need certain pies, certain meals that are staples in it. And everybody goes for stuffing. I've had stuffing. I've had it cooked one way. I've had it shoved up the bird's tuchus. I've had whatever. And stuffing, kind of basic. I don't know why people like it so much. It's just dry-ass bread.
You haven't had it cooked well.
With seasonings.
I like stuffing, but I'm allergic to celery.
Yes, you heard that right. She is allergic to celery.
Can you just introduce yourself to people all the time at any sort of like welcome to my TED Talk. My name's Lori. I'm allergic to celery.
I'm allergic to celery, so I can't eat the... Everybody else in my family really loves celery in their stuffing, and so I always get my own little pot of stuffing that's not cooked in the bird.
You totally don't need to have stuffing out of it. Like,
but I like stuffing, I think because I'm such a huge fan of mashed potatoes and the textures and that carbiness is similar. And so that's why I like stuffing, because I love, like, I don't think there's a better food on the planet than a potato.
Potatoes are good.
If I could eat one food for the rest of my life, it would just be potatoes. And I like bread, and I think that carbiness is similar.
Yeah, but like everybody acts like there's certain meals at Thanksgiving that are even like a green bean casserole or something, or those ones that are just like, yeah, like if you eat green bean casserole in like the summer, people are gonna look at you like you're weird. Like stuffing is something that it's like everybody's like, yeah, you gotta have stuffing, and I'm like, but why? It's like,
okay, well, give first me a of all,
bowl of soft croutons.
Let's clarify: stuffing is when it is cooked in the bird. Dressing is when it is not cooked in the bird. There are two different names for it.
Well, tomato, then I eat dressing.
Tomato, tomato, potato, potato. Okay, and if you call it a potato, you're weird.
But I mean, stuffing or dressing has all these cool things in it. Yes, most of them have celery, but you could put like sausage and apples and cranberries and all different sorts of things. And it's really yummy, especially when you make it with cornbread.
Okay, that is some bougie ass stuffing, first and foremost. I don't know anybody who goes that bougie with it. Well, yeah, but
I do.
What do you do? Just a box?
I don't know. I don't do shit. I haven't cooked Thanksgiving stuff in a long time.
Well, why do you think you're going to speak on it?
Well, I can speak on it because A, it's my subject and the wheel has decided. Okay. But also, it's just, again, people get like...
If you don't make it, why'd you even ask?
If we're sitting there, like if we had Thanksgiving together and then let's say like Stephanie was cooking and she comes out and she's like, here comes the turkey. We'd be like, yeah, here comes mashed potatoes. People would be like, yeah. Then she's like, here comes the stuffing. That's weird that you're going to get like... pumped about stuffing.
I'm more pumped about stuffing than I am dressing than I am about turkey.
Oh yeah, I don't really like turkey.
I mean, I'm fine with that because personally, I'm not against turkey, or I'm not like for or against turkey. I don't have like an opinion about it.
Okay. No more turkey. No more turkey.
If I'm being honest, I'll take ham over turkey at Thanksgiving. 100%. I'm just saying. But no judgment on those who like turkey. But if you're sitting there getting just you know getting super excited about stuffing coming out, then you got to reset your priorities. I'm just saying.
Says the person who doesn't even make stuffing.
Says the person who doesn't make Thanksgiving stuff. Okay, last Thanksgiving, I had roommates. We made breakfast for Thanksgiving, and it was delicious.
Can I say my favorite Thanksgiving food is gravy?
On something or just straight?
I love gravy on stuffing, on dressing, on potatoes, on dry ass turkey, you know.
Well, yeah, you got to put the gravy on it to get the dry.
And I also really like canned cranberry sauce.
So does my mom.
I can make it. I make a pretty good cranberry sauce.
Me too.
But I'd rather have the can, personally.
I really just forgot what I was going to say.
Well, as you're holding your hair like a crazy person as well.
Oh, I really like, my family makes monkey bread.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Where we take...
With bits of real monkeys?
No. Is we that take legal? Little, they're like little 1-inch dough balls that we roll in different spices, and then you pile them all together so you can tear apart. So you might get a rosemary bread, or you might get a paprika bread, or you might get a sage bread. And it's one of my favorite things because 9 times out of 10, you don't know what you're grabbing.
Right.
I just feel like some people out there, like, there'd be people who would, like, get a stuffing tattoo. Like, they love stuffing that much. And I've just...
I'm not going to get a tattoo of it, but I do like it.
I mean, just in my travels, I just, like, I've had it, and I'm like, yeah, that's a thing. But if you were to tell me that, hey, I'm going to have Thanksgiving, but I don't cook stuffing, I'd be like, cool, no worries.
Mashed potatoes. If you don't have mashed potatoes.
I mean, yeah, I'm probably not going to show up if there's, like, no mashed potatoes. I mean, seriously. Yeah, I mean, come on. Mashed potatoes.
Is there something that your family does that isn't a traditional Thanksgiving food that you have every Thanksgiving?
Like monkey bread?
Yeah, like monkey bread.
Not really. I mean, my dad would always cook the turkey in different ways and stuff, like when he would deep fry it and stuff like that. So he kind of would, that was his way of putting a spin on it, but never any, I'm trying to think like.
We always have oysters.
Oh, that's a good one.
Like the little.
Oysters on a half shell, yeah.
Oh, we'd have like the smoked oyster thing, appetizer status.
Well, my brother and I will eat the raw oysters, and my dad when he was alive, but mom has to have them cooked, so she'll have like an oysters Rockefeller or something.
My grandmother last year she lives on the other side of the state, and so she wasn't, because of COVID, able to make it over for Thanksgiving. And so she loves cutting out recipes from different places that she finds. And she calls me and she goes, Lori, I found this recipe and I think this is how I'm going to make a Cornish game hen for Thanksgiving. And I was like, okay, what are you going to do? She goes, you know those White Claws you drank last summer? And I was like, sure do, Grandma. She goes, well, I'm going to get some White Claws. I'm going to stick my Cornish game hen on the top of one of those cans and I'm going to cook it. So my 90-year-old grandmother had a White Claw Cornish game hen for Thanksgiving last year.
There are...
Black cherry.
Oh, God. Oh.
I could see mango or something like that.
Oh, oh.
Actually, no. I've had cherry with a chicken.
I mean, I know it's the law, but still. My goodness.
That's funny.
And she said it was delicious. She found some recipe about White Claw. So
I just picture like handing you a can with the Cornish game hen on top of it. Of just like,
that's
here,
what they eat do. It. Like, they do beer can chicken where you cook one of those bigger chickens on top of a can of beer. You can do it on the grill or in the oven.
It's like a meat popsicle kind of thing. Like,
well, it's you know where the stuffing goes. That's sure. Where the can goes.
Oh
yeah.
All right.
You shove it all the way up there.
You know what? Sure. I'll take White Claw stuffing
open.
Over.
Open.
Can you then call the White Claw stuffing? Is stuffing more of an act than a food?
Only if you drink the White Claw afterwards.
I mean, yeah, that's fine. But you mean like if I put like gummy bears in my turkey, would the gummies be stuffing then? So I could serve that?
Yeah. Yes,
all right, never mind. So I'm back on stuffing, all right? If stuffing is just a term, if stuffing just the verb of which the food is and it could be anything, then I want people to try out turkeys with different stuffing. Not that basic bread stuff. No more of that. No more of that. Let's get more stuffing.
I think I need to make you some dressing so that you can experience what is actually good dressing.
Yeah, go for that. Because right now I'm trying to think of how like a turducken is technically stuffing now. Yeah. Yeah.
I will say one Thanksgiving tradition in my family is that the youngest person in the family has to make canned crescent rolls. And by make, I mean the youngest person in the family is the one that has to roll up the crescent rolls and put them on a pan. So I no longer have that duty now that I have a niece and a nephew.
Perfect.
I would still like to say Thanksgiving breakfast. You're not spending 8+ hours having to cook food and then you're exhausted by the end of it. Breakfast was super quick. It was delicious. Pancakes are better than waffles.
Don't agree. Don't agree.
Spin that wheel. Spin that
wheel. Sounds like a creaky door.
Followed by
Ted Lasso.
Oh, right. we are in trouble here, Lori.
I've only seen episode one, so yeah. No spoilers.
I haven't seen a single episode. Who added this to the wheel?
Thanks for telling me to add this to the wheel and then telling me no spoilers.
Who added it to the wheel?
Me.
You've seen one episode and you added it to the wheel?
I heard people liked it. The only reason I haven't seen it is because I don't have I don't have Apple Plus.
Sounds great. Great. Rant over. Spin that wheel.
No, because I want to positively rant about this show. This show was amazing. It combined the humor of a British comedy with Jason Sudeikis, who I could look at forever because he is a fine-looking man, and amazingly comic timing. And it was just a great show because it was so positive.
Is Jason Sudeikis the kind of sleazy-looking soccer player in episode one?
No, he's the Ted Lasso.
Ah, got it. Okay.
He's the Ted Lasso. Can I get a t-shirt that says that? Is he the sleazy looking? You've seen an episode.
I don't remember names.
I haven't seen a single one, and also, I know who Ted Lasso is.
Are you
Lasso
talking about
is.
Jamie Tart?
Is that the one that's dating Keeley?
Yeah.
Is that the sleazy looking?
Jamie Tart. Yeah.
Now I won't forget his name.
Yeah. They all have a song.
You didn't. Oh, Lori. Oh, it's getting harder to defend you here.
But, I mean, they deal with father-son relationships. They deal with mental health in sports. They deal with ethics. They deal with personal relationships. They deal with divorce, death, and all these different things. And it's just done funny and genuinely and authentically. And it's like one of the best shows I've seen in a long time.
I've just been binging Supermarket Sweep, so.
You need to get this one. You need to get this one because it is amazing. And it's like 10 episodes per season, so there's only 20 episodes to watch.
Can I borrow your Apple Plus?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I borrow your Apple Plus? There's too many streaming services, okay? Add that to the wheel of rant, okay? Too many streaming services.
But I would highly recommend it. If you can find a way to watch it, because not only does it deal with relationships, but also sports and all different sorts of things. And
sports?
Sports, see?
I thoroughly enjoyed episode one.
I have heard fantastic things about it. I just have... Not had the opportunity yet.
It's a good show. You should definitely watch it. All right.
Do we have time for one more?
We got plenty of time. We got nowhere to be.
Well, maybe we'll do two more. We'll see what happens. I got to take off the old ones. Okay, here we go.
Do we get to rant more on Ted Lasso if it goes to it? Like,
no, I took it off.
Oh, okay. Kirby sound.
Best cheese.
Yes.
Kraft singles.
Disgusting.
End of rant. Spin.
Stephanie saw this news article that says that some goat cheese was the best cheese. It's called
Quesos and Besos. Cheeses and Kisses.
Sounds like a
We both agreed that Cougar Gold is the best.
What the hell is Cougar Gold?
It's a cheese from WSU.
We'll get you some.
It comes in a can and it is like the best cheese in the world.
Seriously.
Ew, it's gonna taste like weekend drinking and inadequacy.
No, it is. No. So good.
It's one of the few things that comes out of
WSU. That's what I was just about to say.
You mean besides DUIs and sadness?
Exactly. My family makes Cougar Gold soup with potatoes.
What is the cheese?
Two of my favorite things?
I know. I should make it for you sometime. It's basically, it's like a cheddar. It's like an aged Irish cheddar.
You're going to put a cheddar on the top list of best cheeses.
You can't talk until you've tried it. We'll bring you some.
Yeah.
I have been to the city of Gouda. And I have eaten Gouda in the city of Gouda. And it was fine. It was all right. I'm not really a cheese guy that much anyways. Like, whatever.
Oh, or a white cheddar jalapeno cheese.
Mm-hmm. I mean.
Or I do love during the holidays. Can you tell who put this on the wheel? I do love a good baked brie.
Ooh.
In the holidays.
I just like brie anyway.
Me too. But like a baked brie with like the... Have you ever had a baked brie?
No.
We'll make you one of those too.
Yeah.
You take brie and then you put some sort of like preserves, like apricot preserves or something.
Or bacon jam.
Mm-hmm. On the cheese, and then you wrap it in like a crust and you bake it. And it's like a...
With some pecans. It's, oh,
it's amazing.
Eat it with apples. It's so good.
Man, y'all put cheese on pretty much anything, and I'm just going to eat it.
Cheese is amazing. There's one at Trader Joe's that it has caramelized onions. It's a cheddar with caramelized onions in it. I love that one. Or they have a truffle cheese, which is really good, too. I like anything with truffle in it.
Yeah. I don't. I think it tastes like feet.
It's question, okay to be wrong.
Question.
How do
question.
You know what feet tastes like?
Thank
it
you.
It tastes like feet smell.
Question. Question. How do you know what feet smell? Who feet you been smell?
You had your shoes off earlier.
Oh, now I had to think about that one.
No, I was like, when you get close to the radius of my feet, stay away from my feet. I'm married. You stay away from my feet. Those feet are spoken for.
Cheese is awesome. I think we can just all agree on that. Cheese is awesome.
With your weird feet smelling out.
All right. Okay, one more.
Just going to walk right by me and just...
Good morning.
A Colt 45 reference?
Facebook is evil.
Meta!
All right, all right.
You're welcome.
So I put this on because Facebook is evil. I have left Facebook. Much to the dismay of...
Wait, you did?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yay!
Yeah.
That's how much attention I pay.
I closed my account and I made an announcement and then I connected with a few people that wanted to stay connected.
Now, did you for real delete your account or did you do the deactivate where you can bring it up again?
Nope. I totally deleted it and then I had 30 days to think about it and my 30 days are done. So
How many emails did they send you to join again?
I get a text every once in a while but I just ignore it.
How did you save all the pictures?
Did Zuckerberg show up to your house? You could download them all.
Yeah.
Did he stand outside holding up like a speaker? Hey, come back!
He sent me a hologram.
Yeah, yeah. So Lori's the only one with Facebook?
In the Meta? Room, yeah. Meta.
Meta?
Meta.
Meta. Meta. So stupid.
But you do have Instagram, which is owned by Facebook.
Yeah, I don't use it that often, though. And I'm going to think about getting rid of that. But I also, the one thing that I won't give up is WhatsApp, because I use that to communicate with my brother and sister-in-law in Guatemala. And that is the easiest way for us to communicate down there.
Why did you get rid of the Facebooks?
The Facebooks? Well, first of all it was doing was making me angry because people would post things and I would just be like, damn it. Which is the sad part because I would always tell my children, my students, do not get into an argument on Facebook or on any social media app because it's not going to go the way you want it to.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was taking a lot of my time away from life. I mean, I still sometimes I'll sit down on my computer and go, oh, wait, I don't have Facebook anymore. I can't look at it or whatever. Yes, it's hard because there's some friends that I only communicate with on Facebook and like texting for them is hard, I guess. I don't know. But I also don't like what they've been doing, you know, promoting hate speech and hateful ideas, white supremacy, the whole thing with the elections and... what they're doing in other countries, how they've allowed places like Myanmar, allowed these, you know, horrible genocide that was happening there and just allowed it to be broadcast on Facebook because they didn't have anybody to spoke the language that can verify it. So I think it's just too big. It's too big to monitor itself and it doesn't consider itself a news agency or anything. So it doesn't feel like it has to do that. And they keep relying on this stupid First Amendment right. It's like, no, there is no First Amendment right from Facebook.
Bear arms.
The First Amendment is about the government. And the government's not infringing on your First Amendment right when you post some stupid ass shit on Facebook. What they're doing is saying you can't post stupid ass shit that causes violence. And that's what people were doing on Facebook. That's how everybody communicated with the January 6th thing. That was the point. Actually, it was like January 7th or 8th where I was like, this is stupid. Where they actually had to, I mean, people were telling each other to take their posts off Facebook because the FBI was going to be able to find them. Geniuses, I tell you. Geniuses.
I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head when you talked about it getting too big. Like, especially when you think about what Facebook started out as. It started out specifically for college kids. Like, you had to sign up with a college email address. Because I remember it came out when I was in high school. And my brother got a Facebook before I did. And that's what the intended purpose was when Facebook was created, and then it just blew up and expanded. And you talk about something that grows up too quickly without the infrastructure to support it.
Right.
This is what happens.
Mm-hmm. And the algorithm that they've, I mean, this has been, broadcast from the whistleblowers that have spoken in front of Congress. The algorithm promotes the crazy ideas because that gets the most hits. So the algorithm is going to keep pushing that to the top of everybody's feed. And so it's just basically leading to the miseducation of everybody. And not just in America, everywhere. The atrocities that have happened because of Facebook and other countries are horrible. And it's mostly because they just go unchecked.
Yeah, and the person who, like, if there's a person who's anti-mask, anti-vax, you know, all of that mentality, Facebook is going to share the articles that align with that person's right. view because of, like you said, the algorithm and stuff. Whereas somebody who is more aligned with, you know, BLM and different things like that, they're going to get the news stories that are more centered of that.
But even within that, it is so easy to jump over that line. Like, I mean, I am like the most liberal person or whatever, and I would still get posts about, mm-hmm. you know, QAnon and all these stupid things. And it was like, because I clicked on something that I thought was something else. And so all of a sudden you find yourself. And that's the real danger, is that because we're not aware. A lot of us, when we're doing this, are not paying attention to where we're at, right? We're just like, oh, let me just click on this. But it's like, and then you end
very
up.
Very accurate.
It's an accurate description. Yeah. It really is. But then you end up at a place, like you start clicking some buttons, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm here in the QAnon website. And
apparently it's just like, the Swedish chef.
Yeah.
I just imagine like your cat walking across your computer, and all of a sudden you're at the QAnon website.
Yeah, I mean, like, okay, so wait. So how long ago did you get rid of your Facebook?
30 days ago.
Okay, so you went through your withdrawal, and now you're, like, I haven't had Facebook in, I want to say years, I don't know, time's a blur, and I don't miss it at all.
So how does being fresh out of Facebook feel, Steph?
Feels good. I mean, it's forcing me to be more intentional about my communications with people, friends, family, all that. It really pisses my mom off because she liked to send me things on Facebook all the time. And
she sends them all to me now.
Yes, I know.
You're
welcome.
Here is your hat. You are now the daughter.
Hi, Mom.
But yeah, so she doesn't like it. But, you know, I think it's just making me be more present and more intentional with how I communicate and how I take in information. So, yeah, it was hard at first, but now I'm just like, okay. Well, like, I have a group of girls that we meet and do a Zoom once a month, and we just all live in different areas. And so they had a meeting that they set up on Facebook, and I didn't know about because I'm not on Facebook anymore. And one of them had some big news to share. And so she texted me, and then we met via Zoom and talked about her big news. But it was just like, you just have to be more intentional. And I think it was just so easy with Facebook to not be intentional and just be kind of lazy in that. So.
Well, the hard thing was always like, for, again, since I haven't had it for a long time, is that, you know, you always get that feeling of like, I'm missing something, or how is somebody going to reach out to me and stuff. And yeah, I have some friends who will like give me a call and they're just like, hey, I know you're not on Facebook, but there is this or something like that, like anything out of it. So, you know, I found for me, again, the not the hardest part, but the reason I wanted to get rid of mine was A, just so much toxicity in it. And also I just spent a lot of time scrolling through random BS, and I'm just like, I don't need this kind of thing. So I mean, no judgment for the people who got it.
Now I do that on TikTok, so.
And see, I have purposely avoided getting a TikTok. And I will say, while I don't foresee myself getting rid of my Facebook, I have definitely distanced myself from my Facebook. There were points at which I was aimlessly scrolling and clicking, and that was becoming a time suck. And I don't want any, in the same way that we tell our students, control your technology, don't let your technology control you.
Yeah.
I have been making an active choice to be more intentional about how I use technology, and specifically social media in general.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's really easy to fall into bad habits with it. Just because it is easy. I mean, that's the whole purpose. Why is it so big? Because it's easy and people like it. So yeah, it's just, it was so funny because the one thing that really bothered me about it is when I told people about this, I had to justify it. I'm like, I'm making this decision for me. You make your own decision about what you want to do. Because I'm not like saying, it's evil, everyone should quit. I mean, you got to make your own decisions. But everybody took it so personally that I was leaving Facebook. I'm like, this isn't about you. This is about me and my relationship with this. But it was just like, I think because I was calling out something that was obvious to everybody else and they just haven't decided what's best for them in that situation. Whatever. I'm not saying I'm not going to be your friend just because you're on Facebook.
Yeah, I need you guys to understand. It's not me, it's you.
You're all crazy. All right, so we have three topics left on the rant wheel, and I think we will save them for our next time. We have anti-vaxxers, Squid Game, and video games are for nerds.
One of us needs to watch Squid Game.
We are Gambu.
I don't know what that is.
Only the most emotional moment of Squid Game.
Marbles.
Marbles.
All right, I guess we're doing Squid Game anyway. So, geniuses, I tell you. Geniuses.
I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head when you talked about it getting too big. Like, yeah. Especially when you think about what Facebook started out as. It started out specifically for college kids. Like, yeah. you had to sign up with a college email address. Because I remember it came out when I was in high school, and my brother got a Facebook before I did. And that's what the intended purpose was when Facebook was created, and then it just blew up and expanded. And you talk about something that grows up too quickly without the infrastructure to support it.
Right.
This is what happens.
Mm-hmm. And the algorithm that they've, I mean, this has been, broadcast from the whistleblowers that have spoken in front of Congress. The algorithm promotes the crazy ideas because that gets the most hits. So the algorithm is going to keep pushing that to the top of everybody's feed. And so it's just basically leading to the miseducation of everybody. And not just in America, everywhere. The atrocities that have happened because of Facebook and other countries are horrible. And it's mostly because they just go unchecked.
Yeah, and the person who, like if there's a person who's anti-mask, anti-vax, you know, all of that mentality, Facebook is going to share the articles that align with that person's right. view because of, like you said, the algorithm and stuff. Whereas somebody who is more aligned with, you know, BLM and different things like that, they're going to get the news stories that are more centered of that.
But even within that, it is so easy to jump over that line. Like, I mean, I am like the most liberal person or whatever, and I would still get posts about, mm-hmm. you know, QAnon and all these stupid things. And it was like, because I clicked on something that I thought was something else. And so all of a sudden you find yourself. And that's the real danger, is that because we're not aware. A lot of us, when we're doing this, are not paying attention to where we're at, right? We're just like, oh, let me just click on this. But it's like, and then you end
very
up.
Very accurate.
It's an accurate description. Yeah. It really is. But then you end up at a place, like you start clicking some buttons, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm here in the QAnon website. And
apparently it's just like, the Swedish chef.
Yeah.
I just imagine like your cat walking across your computer, and then all of a sudden you're at the QAnon website.
Yeah, I mean, like, okay, so wait. So how long ago did you get rid of your Facebook?
30 days ago.
Okay, so you went through your withdrawal, and now you're like, I haven't had Facebook in, I want to say years. I don't know. Time's a blur, and I don't miss it at all.
So how does being fresh out of Facebook feel, Steph?
Feels good. I mean, it's forcing me to be more intentional about my communications with people, friends, family, all that. It really pisses my mom off because she liked to send me things on Facebook all the time. And
she sends them all to me now.
Yes, I know.
You have.
You're welcome.
Here is your hat. You are now the daughter.
Hi, Mom.
But yeah, so she doesn't like it. But, you know, I think it's just making me be more present and more intentional with how I communicate and how I take in information. So, yeah, it was hard at first, but now I'm just like, okay. Well, like, I have a group of girls that we meet and do a Zoom once a month, and we just all live in different areas. And so they had a meeting that they set up on Facebook, and I didn't know about because I'm not on Facebook anymore. And one of them had some big news to share. And so she texted me, and then we met via Zoom and talked about her big news. But it was just like, you just have to be more intentional. And I think it was just so easy with Facebook to not be intentional and just be kind of lazy in that. So
Well, the hard thing was always like, for, again, since I haven't had it for a long time, is that, you know, you always get that feeling of like, I'm missing something, or how is somebody going to reach out to me and stuff. And yeah, I have some friends who will like give me a call and they're just like, hey, I know you're not on Facebook, but there is this, or something like that, like anything out of it. So, you know, I found for me, again, the not the hardest part, but the reason I wanted to get rid of mine was A, just so much toxicity in it. And also I just spent a lot of time scrolling through random BS, and I'm just like, I don't need this kind of thing. So I mean, no judgment for the people who got it.
Now I do that on TikTok, so.
And see, I have purposely avoided getting a TikTok. And I will say, while I don't foresee myself getting rid of my Facebook, I have definitely distanced myself from my Facebook. There were points at which I was aimlessly scrolling and clicking, and that was becoming a time suck. And I don't want any, in the same way that we tell our students, control your technology, don't let your technology control you.
Yeah.
I have been making an active choice to be more intentional about how I use technology, and specifically social media in general.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's really easy to fall into bad habits with it. Just because it is easy. I mean, that's the whole purpose. Why is it so big? Because it's easy and people like it. So yeah, it's just, it was so funny because the one thing that really bothered me about it is when I told people about this, I had to justify it. I'm like, I'm making this decision for me. You make your own decision about what you want to do. Because I'm not like saying it's evil, everyone should quit. I mean, you got to make your own decisions. But everybody took it so personally that I was leaving Facebook. I'm like, this isn't about you. This is about me and my relationship with this. But it was just like, I think because I was calling out something that was obvious to everybody else, and they just haven't decided what's best for them in that situation. Whatever. I'm not saying I'm not going to be your friend just because you're on Facebook.
Yeah, I need you guys to understand. It's not me, it's you.
You're all crazy. All right, so we have three topics left on the rant wheel, and I think we will save them for our next time. We have anti-vaxxers, Squid Game, and video games are for nerds.
One of us needs to watch Squid Game.
We are Gambu.
I don't know what that is.
It's only the most emotional moment of Squid Game.
Marbles.
Marbles.
All right. I guess we're doing Squid Game anyway. So,